Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
In 2009, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a dickheaded corps for a crime they didn't commit. They promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Boston Underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as massholes of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the Boston Bastard Brigade.
And wenches, I love it when a plan comes together. And welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am Hannibal.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
All right, fine. It's me, King Baby Duck.
There we go.
And it's me, Murdoch. I mean, Bluonic. Uh-oh, the stare off again. Gun,
you
fight.
You know what I'm going for, then.
Uh-oh. Who's going to be it?
For those that don't know, that's really Face.
Yep. Because he's the ladies' man. He's the giggity giggity goo.
And this
yeah,
is BA.
Right.
I mean, Anvil.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if you can't tell right away, we went and saw the A-Team this weekend.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell from the fucking introduction, then you might be retarded.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Or just Paris Hilton.
Yeah, that too.
And, you know, before going into this movie, you know, I had a little bit of worrisome fear that after seeing The Losers, that this wouldn't have been as good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the concept of The Losers is very similar in vein to The A-Team.
Yeah, so much similar to Smack in the Face. But that's the whole thing about that is we have, like, this kind of rivalry coming up in the sense that we still have the Expendables. So I think we should really kind of hold off on the comparison
until then.
Just because that this seems like it's going to be just this awesome, like, kind of like three-way fight that we got going on.
Well, I'm happy.
I could only hope to see this in a cage fight.
Well, I'm actually truly happy that they did it the way they did, because one came out in June, one came out in July, one's come out in August. Instead of taking
horror movies. That's come out in August. Expendables is coming out in August. This is June for A-Team, and then April was The Losers.
Was that true. Yeah. That's how far it was. That's kind of like the only thing that I was pissed off about. And this actually kind of just snuck up on us. I thought it was actually further away. I kind of went, oh man, I gotta wait till that fucking long to see this goddamn movie, and then.
I can't believe it's over here!
It's like, hey, here it is. Well, son of a bitch.
Birthday?
Well, that's kind of how a lot of movies are. It's like, oh, I can't wait for that long. I can't believe it's already here.
Except for Shutter Island, because it was like, yay, it's almost here. What? They pushed it back again?
Yeah.
Aww. But like the
at least we got to see that movie finally.
Yeah. Although, I keep seeing, before the 18 came up, there's that trailer for Takers that they've been showing since January. The same one.
No, they changed it a little bit. I think there's a little bit of a change because Matt Dillon said a whole lot more. But anyways, I mean, I think with that whole the movie there, Takers, I think it's going to be good because I like a couple of the actors because I can't remember his name, but he was from Sleeper Cell and he did a great job.
Well, one of my favorite characters that's going to be in it is played by Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's
your typical... Hello, I am Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah. No. He's your typical Irish bad boy. If you look at the way he is, he stands there, he's got the leather jacket on, drops out that baseball bat, and swings.
I thought there was more Italian teen mafia.
He plays a lot of those characters, but...
Really? Because yeah. I thought that Hayden Christensen was supposed to retire from... acting, because he said once he was done with the Star Wars thing, he was done.
Dude, he hasn't been done. He's been doing movies ever since.
Because he wasn't feeling the roles, and now they're giving him roles that he actually enjoys. Your typical bad boy, you know.
Not this whole fucking cookie cutter cliched bullshit.
He gets to play the small guy in the group. But, you know, who's that bad boy? You know, hey, you're not cool enough to get a gun, but here's your baseball bat.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, back to the fucking A-Team.
Yeah. Well, we had B. Baracus, who was played by Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Well, we should give his true name. Sergeant Bosco B.A. Baracus.
That's funny that his name is Bosco, because all I can think of is those 1930s cartoons with the Bosco.
You son of a bitch.
And then
we had Bradley Cooper... who played the face man, Templeton Peck.
Who was a captain, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Then we had, from one of our favorite movies, District 9, Sharlto Copley.
Who played Diedrich.
No, he played Howling Mad.
He played Diedrich in District 9, yeah, but now he played...
H.M. Howling Mad Murdoch.
And he did awesome.
I want to see him in more goddamn movies now.
You can't park there. That's a handicap.
Like, he was just, he was hilarious. Yes. He was hilarious.
And finally, last but not least, we had Colonel John Hannibal Smith, played by Liam Neeson.
And Liam Neeson is just the man anyway.
And, you know, after seeing him take on so many serious roles, it's nice to see him, you know, unbuckle the belt a little bit and just have fun.
Yeah, this is one of those movies that... I think they picked the right people to do this movie. They finally did it right. And I think the funny thing is that we were looking through other reviews, of course, from the previous people that tried to, you know, that saw it beforehand, you know, seeing that we don't have that capability quite yet, but we're waiting for it. But in that sense, I mean, we're able to, you know, watch this movie and have a great time, but a lot of the other reviewers, what was it, about 75% were on the mark of, like, thumbs the hell up, you know, awesome, and then there's a couple that were like,
yeah,
I don't know where these guys' personalities went to or whatever, but
yeah,
they couldn't give it a good rating to
The Globe gave it, like, 1.5 stars, and I felt that was total bullshit, because going into this, you know, like I said, beforehand, I was, you know, had mixed feelings about it. Coming out into this movie... I felt like I just came off of a really good roller coaster.
Didn't the Globe give Hurt Locker like half a star anyway?
No, they gave it 4.
Well, are you sure? I know they gave it to Avatar.
Well, there's been a couple other movies that they've given, and we went into it and we came out with smiles on our faces because we were like, that is a clever movie. It actually got the attention of our age and you know.
Well, I say the bigger one that they gave a really bad review to a lot of places was Boondock Saints 2.
Yeah, fuck them.
That will never get, you know, the credit it deserves, but it's a cult classic, in my opinion.
Yes.
Exactly. Because it's just, that's, I don't know.
But before we already give our ratings for this movie, let's just talk a little bit about the premise. There's this guy, Lynch. Well, that's not his real name. That's what everybody in the CIA is called. He's Lynch. But... what is it? They're cash plates that have been made by the Iraqis.
Basically what it is, it's a money plate that they use it, you know, for printing and engraving money, and they're missing.
Actually what it was is, they gave the printing machine to the Iraqis with the plates beforehand, and then they thought Saddam stole it, which he did. They got back the printing machine, or actually they destroyed it, but were able to recreate a new one, so the plates were still good, so they were trying to make billions of dollars with hundreds.
I'm surprised, though, that they didn't go with the whole North Korea route, because that's really going on over there. Kim Jong-il has actual plates to make his own American money to fund a lot of his, crazy, wacky schemes.
Well, let me just put it this way. How much of a motherfucker would it be to go and try to film in North Korea? I mean, Lewis Black said it straight out. You try to go and record over there, it's going to record in black and white. How can you get through on a colored movie? Not unless you want to do another Schindler's List with Liam Neeson.
Yeah, we did.
But, yeah, we're good
with that. Once is enough for them.
What was your feeling, Dark Heart, about this whole movie setup?
I personally liked it. I mean, I think they picked a really good actor for B.A.
And he captured the spirit of Mr. T so well.
Yeah.
I mean, did you like the tattoos on his fist when he was kicking ass and taking names?
Yes.
Pity and fool.
And it was, let me see, I think all of them that just developed the characters that they're supposed to be right off the bat.
Yeah, they didn't go and make it their own characters. They actually were able to, reestablish a lot of the roots that they had back in the actual show. I think they did a fabulous job. That was fucking brilliant. I love it.
Because I was actually... Well, let me put it to you this way. I actually didn't realize it was Liam Neeson playing Hannibal until like a couple days ago. That's how good of an actor he was in this movie. Because he was basically unrecognizable in this.
You never know Liam Neeson until he pops up out of nowhere.
And actually, a surprise character to me, that did really well working with it, was Jessica Biel.
Yeah, it's like, there's no female character in the original show that I remember, or otherwise she did take over a male role that was maybe in the old show. I'm not sure.
No, it's always, my father's been kidnapped and held
for ransom. Yeah, something
like that. The old show, though, never gave this back basis, so this is a different basis.
Yeah, this is kind of... Yeah. At least they have, like, an incorporation. If you go to watch this movie... There, it's going to be like, I thought they all started out together, except for maybe the two that were the main ones that started together, which is Leslie Nielsen's character and, what's his name?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper from Hangover 2. Never mind. That they were together working on something, well, not really working together, but it kind of got to the point where he was trying to rescue one or the other. Not trying to say who is who, so don't ruin it, but... It got into that point, and let's say B.A. was trying to get back his baby, which we all know is his lovely van.
Yeah. I want one.
I think it's gorgeous.
Spoiler, unless you didn't see the trailer.
Yeah, no, dude, they already spoiled it with the trailer, so anyways.
I was surprised that that was in the beginning of the movie. I thought that was going to be like 3/4 in.
Yeah, well, at least they didn't actually show a lot of the action parts. I mean, they showed the action parts. That was the one big fucking concern I had with this goddamn movie. Like, when they had the trailer, I was like, oh, dude, that better not just be all the freaking action they just showed, because otherwise this movie's just going to be talk, talk, talk. There was action, 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 little bit of talking, then a shitload more action. That's what I'm looking for. They gave us the premise, and then they gave us the action. That's what I'm looking for when the plot line goes through and just explosions and just shit everywhere. Because they like to mess around, like, with your actual thoughts when you're in this movie.
Right.
Because even when you're watching, you're like, holy shit, I didn't even know that happened. I mean, they kind of caught me off guard with a couple of things. I don't want to ruin it, but...
Let's just say that there are three little cups here, and then there's a ball.
Exactly.
Those two things that were said in the trailers, all said or done, that I wish they actually kept in the movie. And I don't care, because...
Actually, maybe a third one, but go ahead.
One of them was, I'm B.A., and you're going to be unconscious. I wanted to hear that. And... If you've all seen the trailer, you see B.A. shooting the rocket across. I wanted to hear him whistle.
Yeah, he didn't whistle. That was the other one I was thinking of. Yeah, exactly.
I think it leads more into the excitement part of it with the whistling.
Although I think I'm kind of glad they didn't do that part, because I felt that would have been a little bit too campy.
Well, no, because he's being nonchalant about it. This is he's a killer. Mm-hmm. He's a military man. This is what he's trained to do. So it's not huge to him. To do it, he's more relaxed. It's not like, if I handed you a gun and said, go kill, the next person you see, you'd be like,
I liked Hannibal's speech, especially, you know, the whole jail part, because you already see that in the trailer. But, you know, where Liam Neeson is sitting there with Lynch talking about the whole thing going, he's like, you know what, give me an hour and I could, you know, do this. Give me, like, a day, give me, you know, this, and then give me 6 months, I'm fucking unbeatable. I like that because he was, like, one of those chess players. He was able to, like, think everything through, and that's how I like to, you know, to think, actually, things through instead of just going off the fucking handle like some of us people here at the Boston Bastard Brigade.
I have no clue who you're talking about. Douchebag. But no, that's actually a really good speech. Give me a minute and I'm good. Give me an hour and I'm great. Give me six months, I'm unbeatable.
That actually, you know, put it into the actual retrospect of the old, you know, the old show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the old show was more or less, it just kept going on, like, oh no, somebody got captured, you guys need to save them, and then there could be a little bit more of a plot line, and then they go around blowing shit up, shooting guns, and it was awesome because it was like, low grade, you know, probably there was explosions that weren't supposed to happen, and sometimes and they just left it in, or, you know, some kind of funny thing like that.
Yeah,
in the
old one.
This one was so impressive. Like, it had, like, this, you know, you had the C-130 plane, you had, especially when Murdoch was flying, it was just fucking hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing.
Although some of the stuff he did was kind of unbelievable, like when he flew that giant plane.
Dude, the C-130 doing a friggin' barrel roll is the most impossible thing, but I think it's impossible.
The helicopter doing a barrel roll.
Well, no. Actually, I've seen a helicopter do that, but I don't think exactly that type of model that they had.
It doesn't move quick enough.
There's no way it could move that quick.
It was stalled out.
I did like the whole setup that they did when they were getting away from the heat.
But this is the type of movie where you just throw out the feeling of disbelief out the window.
Well, back to Liam Neeson's speech for a minute, I need to change it for Blue.
Why?
Give him a minute, he's okay. Give him an hour, he's eh. Give him 5 years, and he might find Waldo.
Yes, I might find Waldo, motherfucker.
And the only reason he finds
him... And I'll be dead.
Yeah.
He'll finally move his thumb and realize that Waldo's been under his thumb the entire 6 years.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, that's just my life in general.
Yeah. All right, now that I'm done making my joke.
Thanks.
What did everybody think about this
movie? You killed
our
fucking... You killed them all, Memento. Yeah. Thank you.
No, I didn't.
Thank you, Anvil.
Thank you.
Golf clap.
Thank you.
Actually, the momentum got killed by you actually having to sit there.
Yes, monkey wrench.
So what you all fucking think of the movie?
I don't know. What did you think of the fucking movie?
I asked you ladies first. See, look, I said ladies first and now the duck talked. Too late, duck.
No.
You already started, ducky.
Well, just to let you know, I really gave it 2 thumbs up. My name is Coco.
My name's Mordecai.
Alright, now that the ladies, I think, have already given their opinion.
Cool. I never said a word about my opinion. I just said my name's Mordecai, but go ahead.
555. Fuck.
Call me for a good time.
Oh, no. All right, let's go on.
I was impressed with this movie. I loved it. I'm hoping that we get to see more A-Team movies with this cast and crew.
And director and everything.
And executive producers, the Scott brothers, Tony Scott and Ridley Scott.
Yep. Oh, they're overrated.
I give it 2 thumbs up. I had a lot of fun watching this movie. And there are just some parts in this film where you're just going to want to jump out of your seat and just hoot and holler and cheer.
I didn't get that at all. Didn't want to jump out of my seat.
That's because you're...
Go Blue.
You're stuck in your chair. That's why.
Fuck you. I was more comfortable than you were.
Yeah. Do you have trouble getting out of your chair?
No. I had the stairs in front of me, so I had my feet fully extended.
Sure you did.
Yes. And then when he stood up, he rolled right down.
Yeah.
Anyways,
here's a clip of him going down.
Oh. He was like, what's his name? When he got stuck in the tires, he's like, no.
And then you just hear the kid going,
shut up, Nelson.
All right. So, what you think?
Definitely 2 thumbs up. It was very, very well done. All the characters, perfect. Just like everything was just perfect. The way that they pulled off things in the movie and stuff like that with their, you know, the scenarios and you know, like when they thought of all the ideas and everything like that, it was perfect. It really showed like how smart Hannibal was, and I just enjoyed it. It was two thumbs up.
Anvil? No, Anvil.
Blue.
Nope. Blue. You, Anvil.
No, because I said, what did you guys think of
it? Oh, God damn it. You're like a little fucking kid.
Yes, I am.
Anyways.
Yes, a kid that refuses to grow up. He's Tracy Morgan and Sarah Silverman rolled into one person.
Hey, you think that's a bad thing?
Yeah, that's a Jeffrey right there. Anyways, so what I have to say right off the bat, two thumbs way the fuck up. I 5-star, whatever friggin' rating that could give the highest rating, 100%, 120%, awesome. I think it's one of those movies that if you enjoy action and the dash of comedy on the side and how these characters act, you know, interacted with each other, I feel that this is one of those good movies that if we're lucky might actually get put up for something when, you know, the awards fucking, you know, chairs come out and stuff like that.
Like, that's the adapted fucking screenplay.
And the red carpet fucking rolls out. I mean, because seriously.
This was a great, a faithful adaptation. I think this is like the most faithful adaptation of a TV show to a live action movie I've seen. Not since Speed Racer.
Yeah, well, I can say that. What the fuck are you doing?
I'm moving that.
Alright, well, anyways, Anvil, what?
Well, like Blue said, you know, if we could give anything other than two thumbs up, we'd give it. So I give it two thumbs up. And he said, I wonder what the highest thing you possibly give anything.
Infinity? Well, no, just kidding.
I give it two Halle Berry's.
Oh!
Because that's the best thing I can actually possibly think of.
I give it to Megan Fox's.
Halle Berry's better than Megan Fox.
Sorry, no. Megan Fox is hotter.
No.
I give it to Halle Berry, but you know.
Wait.
I give it to Rose McGovern's.
No.
Rose McGowan hold on. I give it to Scarlett Johansson dressed as Black Widow from Iron Man 2.
Doing
the 360 that she did around that guy's head.
Wait.
I'm sorry, you can't beat that. You cannot beat that.
I can.
No, I can beat it. I got it. I give it one Scarlett Johansson dressed as Black Widow doing the 360, and one Halle Berry dressed as Catwoman.
Not the Catwoman.
Whoa.
I give it two Rosario Dawson's.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Fuck yeah.
She's hot, but
hey, she's
wicked hot.
You see her in Clerks?
Yeah,
two?
Yeah.
Giggity goo.
Sin City?
Yeah, exactly.
If I want to go that too, I give it two Jessica Alba's.
Okay.
What about Beale?
Okay, we'll give it two. There we go.
We'll give Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel in a beautiful lesbian love fest.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever. All right.
All the hot women, wrap them in leather, and
there you go. It's good enough. That's how good it is.
Okay.
So yeah, I give it two thumbs up. I thought it was a great cast. They all look really happy to be working together. And I couldn't stop laughing when I found out that, you know, Liam Neeson learned how to fight for this movie from Quentin Rampage Jackson.
I mean, when they're doing that fight, he's like, dude, your
Muay Thai and Judo suck.
Yeah.
And that's actually what Quentin taught Liam.
Yeah, it's great.
And the only reason I know that is I was watching a thing on it, and they said, so how'd you learn how to fight? And he told him. I'm like, damn. Really? That's what happens when
you're up at
4
man.
O'clock in the morning.
Now put him against Rashad Evans.
I take Liam Neeson.
I take Liam Neeson, too. Plus, he's a freaking Jedi. And he saved the Jews.
don't get that. He was in Schindler's List. Thank you.
And he was in Star Wars.
Well, one. I figured they got
He also before. Saved sex because he was also Kinsey.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mango.
That's right. Plus, he's immortal because he's Ra's al Ghul.
Ooh, Ra's al Ghul!
That's right, he's Ra's al Ghul, so...
From the first Batman.
So, I'm sorry. So, pretty much, to sum it all up, Liam Neeson is badass.
He's God. If you had to choose a god, you have to choose him.
Liam Neeson, I'm sorry.
Because he was Zeus.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
And I swear to God.
He was a god.
I swear to God, if you say Christian Bale, I'm going to kick your ass.
Nah.
I don't know. He might give you like a whole, you know, run around with his speech, you know. Anyway.
So, Liam Neeson is God and Tom Waits is the devil.
Yes, Tom Waits is a very good devil. I think he's an awesome devil. He'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're gonna do things Anvil's way right now, and we're gonna move on to sports.
Anvil for president. Please vote for me.
No.
And by voting me for president, the rest of the bastards become my cabinet.
Anvil for douchebag.
We have Minister of Defense over here with blue. Secretary of State, Mr. Duck.
Who the hell's the vice president?
And the black slave.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna change this up a little bit. Vice President Blue.
Why would I be vice president?
Why?
He's the one with the brains.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's why I become Secretary of State.
Oh, okay.
And Secretary of Defense, our little martial arts friend over here, Darkheart.
Bingo.
It's like we'll go to war and we won't have guns. The enemy will be like, what the fuck? And they'll pull some Muay Thai and
wait
snap their
ass
with their legs.
What did Condoleezza Rice do again?
Oh, yeah, she got on her knees and sucked on George Bush's dick.
Wait, hold on.
Besides that, but I'm just saying, would you make him place... of Condoleezza Rice?
Yeah, but Colin Powell also did the same
thing. Wait a minute. Isn't Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell white now because of the racial draft?
Right. Yes, they are.
And OJ is black again.
Yes.
And I'm going to make it a rule.
As we all know from the Las Vegas thing.
Well, I'm going to make a rule if I become president is that every cabinet must have a real black person, not a, you know, wannabe.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
So Tiger Woods?
No, he's a wannabe.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg will be the chief head of narcotics control.
I'm going to make him the head of DEA.
With Dr. Dre. And
it's like I'm sitting there, it's like, you too, Dr. Dre. Snoop Dogg.
You're the weapons defense.
It's like, I'm going to make you guys in charge of the DEA.
No. When you have to split that, you'd have to take one for the West Coast, one for the East Coast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So P. Diddy would have to be the East Coast one.
What are you talking about? Tupac's already there.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into sports.
Sports.
Sorry, I just did a high dive off the, you know, into the pool.
Wow, that was so epic fail.
Fuck you. At least I tried something new.
What are you talking about? Listen to how this show opened up.
By our suggestion only.
Shut up and just go with the sports.
What are you doing underneath the table, Anvil?
He's jerking.
Monica Lewinsky's under
there.
I didn't know
you bent that way.
No, I have Monica Lewinsky under there. Hey, I figured why not? If I'm going to be president, might as well get the same whore as everybody else. Oops.
So she would be Secretary of Whorism?
Yes. She handles prostitution control.
She handles affairs. Special affairs.
Secretary of Special Affairs. I like that. All right. So let's jump a little bit into sports now. The other night, the Celtics dropped a close one, a heartbreaker to the Los Angeles Lakers of suck George Bush's penis.
And that's the end of sports.
But then they came back and they took a great game against the Lakers. It's tied 2-2. So might as well say it's a best of three going on. You know, we play again tomorrow, Tuesday, and by next Thursday we will have a new champion.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's us.
Wait, hold up. So we're going to find out this Sunday?
No. By this coming Thursday, we will have a new NBA champion.
You don't think beforehand?
It has to at least go to a game six, which will be Tuesday. It's either Tuesday or Thursday. That's it.
Wait, we're tied right now, right? 2-2?
Yes. Yeah. You have to win two games. There's a game on Sunday and a game on Tuesday. It's every other day.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So Tuesday's the earliest. Thursday's the latest.
So game tomorrow. Game Tuesday. Game Thursday.
It's been really going back and forth. It's been really going back and forth. I have to say, I'm very disappointed with the Celtics because freaking Rondo. I'm sorry. I have to say freaking Rondo.
You might have to say freaking, you know, Ray Allen on that fact that he went, like, there's the first game that we lost. Then the second game, he fucking was like, whoosh,
set a new record.
Whoosh. The fucking third game, he was just like, brick, fuck, I missed again, brick, damn it.
I'm wondering if they're not getting enough accurate sleep or anything like that. Or
do you know what it is?
Jet lag.
There's too many days off in between.
I agree. I so agree with this.
Because we'll play each and, you know, every other day.
Every other day.
And then when it comes to the weekend, you have Thursday to Sunday off. It's like, why can't we have a game on Saturday? I want to watch a game on Saturday. I don't want to watch it from work.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I would like a game on Friday night or Saturday. Something.
Exactly, when we can all hang out and, you know, watch it. Because, you know, we all have jobs here. I mean, some of us, you know. Darkheart doesn't. He works at Dunkin' Donuts. That's not a job.
It is a job. About, I'm teasing. Let me tell you, I'm going to have my job before, I'm going to keep my job longer than any of these other corporate bastards.
Oh, yeah, I'm just teasing you.
All right. Hey, Dunkin' Donuts is going to be around forever. They're going to take over the world with Walmart.
My job will be around longer than your job.
So wait. You think Dunkin' Donuts is going to overtake like Krispy Kreme or Cane's Donuts?
Yep, they already have.
Whoa, Cane's is small.
The only group that's competition to Dunkin' Donuts is Starbucks. Dude, like in freaking California, there is no Dunkin' Donuts. There's nothing but Starbucks.
See,
because it's the rich land.
Of course. I'm a Cane's Donut fan.
Let me tell you, I like Cane's Donut and I love Krispy Kreme. They have some good ass donuts.
The Boston Bass Brigade do not condone product placement. We do, however, will say that shit is delicious. When
Dunkin' Donuts rules. Get your simple bagel twist.
Fuck that. Go to Cane's Donuts, little mom and pop shop. We love them.
Yes.
Hey, we can condone a little mom and shop store.
Yeah.
You've been to Cane's Donuts.
Yep. And we also condone the Yahoo in Salem. Their iced hot chocolate is
awesome. This is sports. Not only iced hot chocolate. Yeah. Let's go.
What?
Their bubble tea is fantastic.
Yes. Excuse me.
Oh, my good God. That's so good.
Okay. Can I do sports?
Okay, back to sports.
Thank you. That is a sport.
Eating, actually, it is.
No, Dunkin' Donuts versus Starbucks, that is a sport.
No, it's not.
It's just as much of a sport as the Yankees versus the Red Sox, okay?
No.
Well, you got people with hunting rifles, a.k.a. Starbucks, and you got people with rocks. Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. That's a fight within itself.
Yeah, rocks are really bad.
That's what my dog is, you bastard.
All right. So the Red Sox...
Don't worry about it. It's just the phone.
The Red Sox are back in interleague play last night against the current National League champion, Philadelphia Phillies, and one of their star pitchers, Jamie Moyer. Which I think was a really close game from what I heard. 12-2. That's close, right?
Yeah.
To National League standards. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to see nothing but National League games. I love that part of the season.
Me
because
too.
Because American League is so much better. National League sucks monkey balls. Yes, I said it. No, I want to move on a little tiny bit, okay? Is that okay with everybody right here? Uh-huh.
Okay, fine. Not okay with me. No, I'm just kidding.
So, the NHL season is now officially over. Hockey is done for the year. Now that the... has won the Stanley Cup.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Thank you. I was trying to do something, to lead them up into it, but you ruined it!
No, it probably would have sucked anyways.
Yeah, it probably would have. But we were rooting for Chicago. I know Nanya likes Chicago. If it had been...
I was on my way to work the night that Blackhawks won it, and there was a dude wearing all this Philly stuff, and so was his friend. I walked right up to him, looked him dead in the eye, and said, "Your team sucks, monkey balls." And the dude actually wanted to fight me. But then his girlfriend's like, "Are you drunk?" And he's like, "Why? He's so much bigger than you." And it was like Dark Heart size. It was cute. He must have been 50 pounds and 4'1".
No, you see, that was a woman controlling a puppet.
Oh, yeah, that's one.
It was like...
Yeah, it's called her boyfriend. or if they work for Brooklyn Public Access.
Oh. They're going to get you for that.
Oh, my God.
You may think they're small, but when they create an army, you're fucked in the ass, man.
Not if I throw lollipops at them. Ooh. So, I mean, there's nothing really going on in all the other sports.
Wait, what about UFC?
I said the other sports.
UFC is another sport!
So is wrestling, bastard.
No, wrestling's not a sport.
Yeah, it is.
Don't get me started on wrestling.
Oh my God, it fucking is.
No. It's just a bunch of...
It's a sport, you bastard! It's just as much of a sport as UFC.
No, because UFC people actually bash their heads in, they can die from it. Not falling off a cable and dying. God rest Owen Hart.
I should kick your ass. Alright? Disown Owen Hart again. I will reach over and I will jump the life out of you. All right.
Take your steroids and work out and try not to choke anybody with
Eddie Guerrero died too. Eddie Guerrero died.
No, he had a heart condition.
Look at Darren Draws.
Exactly.
Oh, that was an accident.
Stone Cold Steve Austin can't wrestle anymore because of that neck injury of Owen Hart doing a pile driver on him.
Don't make me. I do have something that will really hurt you when it comes to wrestling. Don't make me pull it out.
Don't pull anything out, period.
Keep it in. Yes. I'm sure all the wrestlers do that in the back or something like that, but I want you to keep that in.
Why don't you go take your steroids and try not to choke anybody with the weights?
Oh, that's a fucked up thing. Anyways, Let's get back into the UFC before this becomes
a problem. I'm not going UFC yet.
No, we're going UFC now.
Not yet.
We're right, going so UFC.
Yesterday right morning,
soccer.
Shut up.
Soccer.
Yesterday morning, the World Cup started down in South Africa.
That's great. I'll know UFC.
Fuck you. So, opening match was actually a pretty good one. I got a chance to watch it. It was South Africa, and they played Mexico. It ended in a 1-1 tie. It was still a really good game. Followed by France and Uganda, which ended in a 0-0 tie. Currently, as we speak at 4:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, U.S. is currently playing England, and it was tied 1-1 at half. So let's hope for something good. It's on for the next month, and I say go USA.
Yeah, go USA.
So now I'll move to UFC, so Dark Heart can look happy again. Thank you.
Look, he's funny.
Dude, don't do that again. You look like an anime. Does he look like an anime?
Yes, he does look like an anime.
Creepy.
Damn it, stop that.
I like that smiley face that you put on your text messages.
Yeah!
The no eyes.
So tonight, the group of us will be watching UFC 115.
Yay!
Headlined by Chuck.
115!
Headlined by Chuck, the Iceman Liddell. And Rich, I love my mama's booty, Franklin. But that's not even. I want to watch that fight because
if Chuck Liddell loses, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, I know. Like that's the whole thing that I've been having issues with here. We have these like fucking the ones that we're wanting to win, and they've lost lately. Well, I mean,
yes, Rampage.
Fuck you. Don't. That still hurts. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that does hurt. That does.
The movie did it.
But you know what? Rampage hung in there. He lost by a decision.
Yes, that's a man right
That's
there.
A man thing, okay? That he lost by a decision.
So
if he was able to continue on, I'm sure after a while he would be able
if
to
knock him out. If they called it a 5-round event, that would have been different.
If they would have been 5 rounds, he could have knocked him out in the 4th round.
Yeah, if there was a fucking title involved,
here we
but
go.
It wasn't.
There's another fight I'm really looking forward to tonight. It's Pat H.D. Barry. And HD, I thought it stood for high
def. HD, so yeah, high definition, Barry.
Hype or die is his nickname.
I'm just going to stick with high definition. I think it's much better.
Yeah.
High definition.
Versus.
Check out my pecs in this big, crisp plasma screen.
Okay. So he's fighting Mirko Krokop. His real name is.
What's that fighting for Rocky 2?
No.
Crackhead? What?
No, Krokop. No,
croquet?
I'm going to explain something about him.
I never played croquet.
His real name is Mirko.
God damn it.
His real name is Mirko Filipovov. He's from Croatia.
You going to lip me off?
Yeah, I'll lip you off. He's from Croatia.
Flip off your mom?
I thought it was from Russia with that kind of name.
How do you like being fucked now, Anvil? How do you like being fucked?
You nerd, you won't be happy.
Wow, wow, it took some strength for you to get the fuck out of
here. You don't understand, man.
Yo, right. You had a hernia, right?
So,
do you want me to open up a window, man, so you can just.
Yeah, so we don't get Dutch ovened here?
Just wait, please. No, just keep it closed. No, there's too much noise outside. That's why
keep
your mom closed
it.
Close. Alright, so. Mirko Krokop is a member of. He's a member of Croatia.
This is why we're bastards. Alright, anyways, go ahead, Ambo.
He's a member of Croatian Parliament, voted in 5 years in a row. He came up with this giant idea for an anti-terrorist SWAT team in Croatia. And everybody said it wouldn't work, so he quit Parliament, became a member of the SWAT team, and then leaves to become a fighter. And this guy is such a good fighter that they've actually nicknamed his legs. And they say right leg hospital, left leg cemetery. Because I've watched him kick. Most of his knockouts, he'll kick the guy in the head and he'll drop.
Yeah, he fucking gets him
He's
right.
He's lethal.
He gets him right between like jaw to fucking temple and like, he drops the motherfucker.
Right for that area.
He is a fucking scary
and
fighter.
I hope he does the same thing tonight.
I think that. That is, if we predict on that one, it's going to be, I want to say, second round easily knockout. Maybe a knockout.
Let's pick our fighters for the people on TV for those two fights.
Yeah.
Duck, who do you take?
I'll take Flip Off Your Mom.
Oh.
Fuck you. And when he comes and kicks your head off, I'm going to laugh. And what about the first fight?
The one with Liddell?
Yes.
Definitely the Iceman. The okay. Iceman cometh, man. The yeah. Iceman cometh.
That's right. Okay. He's the one who made hell freeze over. Now, come on now.
What do you think for the two fights?
Yeah, definitely Liddell. And if he's really as good a kicker as you say he is and everything like that, then I'm going to definitely go for him.
Okay.
If he can do it.
Blue?
Liddell easily, because Rich Franklin is a bitch. And I actually saw him act in a movie, and it was fucking horrible. And seeing that he acted in a movie, I can only guess that it fucked up his career anyways. So, yeah.
I want Frank Mir to fight again so he can get his ass whooped some more.
Yeah. And what about the second fight?
Second fight? Who is the other one besides Krokoff?
Pat Barry.
I don't know Pat Barry.
Is he related to John Barry?
He's related to Dave Barry, that funny writer guy.
Yeah, no, you know what? I'll take Krokoff easily because Krokoff is, you know, he's a scary fucking guy, and I can't even imagine him in politics. He could probably talk you fucking like your head dizzy. That's how good he is. But more or less,
his foreign policy is agree with me or I'll punch you in the face.
Yeah, exactly. I think the funny thing is if you've ever seen, like, those political, like, fights that break out sometimes in you know, the whole, it seems like an onslaught. I think he would be, like, the one that would just be like, fucking hi-ya, wham, just take out all the rest of the politicians. They couldn't even throw a chair at him.
Yeah. So, I'm agreeing with everybody else. It's going to be Chuck Liddell and Mirko Krokop. I think they both can knock out their opponents. So, you want to move on now?
Alright. Okay, he leaves while the three of us talk anime. Yeah, go into the bathroom.
Yeah, open the window, fucker.
Yeah. And
use the fucking air freshener!
And finally, we get to sit down and talk about baccano, which is an Italian word for noise.
Back off. No.
And
it Fangula. No, just kidding.
It follows 20 main characters, each riding inside of a train called The Flying Pussyfoot.
It sounds like Chrono Crusade, all those characters.
Well, for me, personally, it kind of has a sort of Lost element to it.
Yeah.
And all these characters, they have different backgrounds, but almost all of them somehow became immortal by drinking this sort of, like, liquid philosopher's stone that they all thought was wine.
Oh, jeez.
And these people are like mafioso. They're alchemists. They're thieves. They're assassins. They're even little kids. And
heroes?
Heroes, maybe?
Heroes?
Maybe heroes, yeah. Maybe somewhat a little bit of heroes.
Without the eclipse, that is.
Yeah. And then the show itself is told out of sequence during like 3 consecutive years in the U.S. Prohibition era. Which, you don't really see a lot of Japanese cartoons go that route. Like the classic era of American, like, 1920s, early 1930s.
I don't know. If you all watched the Hercules Legendary Journeys.
Hercules the...
With Kevin Sorbo?
Yes.
Okay, because it reminds me, when you were talking about, like, when they drank this thing and it made them, like, you know, have powers and whatever and things like that. It kind of reminds me of in Hercules, like when they drink, when they eat the ambrosia, or they eat the golden apple, or they eat, like, you know, drink certain things, stuff like that. They become gods. I mean, that's what it kind of reminds me of a little bit, like people who do that. So
kind of shit,
right?
But anime was interesting. It's not really long either. The thing is,
it's 16 episodes.
It's 16 episodes for the series.
But it's difficult for me to explain the premise of the show because so much shit happens in the first 2 episodes. Because you're getting introduced to all these characters. And then you get this story, you get that story, you get these stories, you get those stories. So it's a truly, fully give you a concept of what the show is about. It would take the entire show just to explain what's going on.
Yeah, it would take a lot, just because it's really hard to explain. I mean, even when I was dealing with it, when I was watching the introduction, I was like, okay, those must be the main characters. Okay, those must be the main characters. What the fuck? There's like 50 people in this goddamn show. What the fuck is with this shit? So I was kind of like, when I was sitting there at work trying to watch and pay attention to what the fuck was going on, it was just, I think I was just more confused than I could ever imagine.
Because there's a lot of characters.
It's too much. You know, it's like you pull that big bowl of fucking cereal in the morning. You're like, yep, I'm going to eat this. You get halfway through, you're like, bah! Yes.
See, that's why it reminded me of Chrono Crusade, which is the sequel for Chrono Cross.
Right.
And because, like, when you're going through the game and everything like that, you're meeting so many characters, plus you can switch out so many. It's like 35 something odd characters that you can switch out of inside that game. And that's what kind of this anime reminds me of. Mm-hmm. There's just so many different characters, and they switch in and out and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And that also has that element of Heroes, where it's like there's always different main characters coming in every single season.
Right.
It's changing and things like that.
And so, the way it's told is very reminiscent of Lost, because you get these three years. This is like before the incident on the Flying Pussyfoot, the actual incident itself, and then what happens afterwards. So it's like when you watch Lost, it's before, during, and after the plane crash. And being stuck on the island.
Yeah, except for that one time when they kept flashing forward, flashing back, flashing forward. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking confused. What's going on?
Yeah. Now, what did you think of the animation?
I actually was pretty impressed, but it seemed like it wasn't. It didn't do its own style. It seemed like it's been done before.
Yes, somewhat. That's true.
I think it just had the same like texture. I felt that you need to like maybe spice it up a little bit. Give it a little bit more of a 3D action to it, not this kind of 2D. It still looked like the same kind of action.
It got that Full Metal Alchemist.
And it is the same company, Bones.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, because it's almost kind of like how Disney uses some of their shit over and over again, where they have like the same texture background, they have the same character movement, they have the same shit.
Woohoo!
Yeah, but
fucking,
I was...
Damn you, Mickey!
But I was impressed, especially animation-wise, whenever someone gets shot up or they get chopped up and then, you know, re-pieced back together, how it all looked.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Was impressive, but I felt that, like, I don't know where it kind of got stolen from. It felt like it was stolen somewhere. I just don't know where.
I kind of get that feeling, too.
But, I mean, whenever you see the Japanese animation version of somebody getting cut, there's always, like, the slow motion aspect of it, and you see the blood raise off and go in this almost triangle area and then drop off kind of thing. It looks kind of like that, It's kind of like how Power Rangers was when they used a fucking sword to slice through something.
Oh, yeah, and then the sparks in it,
yeah,
and then there's like a 5-minute delay.
Sunlight.
Oh!
Yeah.
Ah, boom!
Yeah,
that was
exactly
the best.
Oh, no! And just spin around and then drop down.
That was the
boom.
Best. Yes, they always do like some kind of backflip spin.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, nobody does that. Nobody does a perfect backflip and then falls.
Yeah.
And like...
But I think it just it is a good anime. It's just I don't know if it's for everybody. I mean, even I was kind of a little iffy on the whole factor of how the movie was actually set. I mean, come on, we're on a fucking train that keeps going everywhere, but does it ever really stop? Does it, like, you know, do you get off the fucking train?
Amtrak!
I know. Shouldn't they be on a floating fucking, you know, train by now? They look like they're stuck in the goddamn
South lake. Station.
It seemed like they had a vampire texture to it too, because they all were wearing like the specific like clothes timing, you know, like setup.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
4400.
There you go. 4400. Bingo.
That's a good show. Then you know what? Now that you mentioned that, this is what it's sort of like—an animated version of the 4400.
So you don't have to meet each and every one. Wait, this anime makes you.
But what did you think of the voice acting, too?
Well, wasn't this... I think the one that I got was Japanese, but it had subtitles.
Oh.
I got stuck with the subtitle one, I guess.
Really? Because I watched the English dub version, and I thought they really captured a lot of like the vernacular of like the 1920s and 1930s.
Didn't you get the subtitle one, dude?
I got subtitles with my English dubbing.
What the fuck is this?
Did you go on YouTube?
Yeah, it was on YouTube. It was the link that you gave us.
You sent me.
I don't know. Whatever.
All right, never mind. He did more work than I did. Ha!
I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to pull a Miracle Crow cup to your head.
But for me personally, I give the show like one thumb up or one thumb sideways, because I feel the show is worth a look, but the multiple storylines may confuse some people. Like you said, it's good, but it probably isn't for anybody.
It's a lot of mixing of different... It's a lot to digest. There's sometimes it's like you just want it simple. Give us at least 5 to 6 characters. Even maybe do it like Friends. Like, you know, give us that kind of Friends aspect to it. Give us... maybe the six to eight people, that's good enough for us to acknowledge, and then bring in a special guest once in a while, not like 50 people.
Just like King said, Lost. You know, yeah. it's like that. It's like you are kind of lost with all the characters and stuff like that. Plus, there's so many. Lost had so many. And I got confused with the show.
Well,
so,
like, that was the whole thing. Lost was like, bam! You think you were going to deal with the people that were just passengers besides the ones that got killed at the aspect when the fucking plane exploded. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, more or less, when you go down the whole thing, it goes to that point where it's like, dude, there's people who are actually still on the fucking island. There's, like, you just were able to pull these people out of your ass, and they're right there on the island, or they're in, like, little compartments here and there, or they actually had, like, an actual, like, civilization on the thing for a little while. I don't know. I might be talking out of my ass here, because the fact is I used to watch it back then, and I haven't been able to watch it till afterwards, or, like, how it even ended.
Right.
I'm going to give it half a thumb, because I'm going to give it nothing, because they made me read it. But then Duck said, you know, admitted that he sent me and Blue the wrong one to be mean.
No, that's the thing is, the YouTube version both had the dub and the sub.
No, that's not what I heard. I heard that you did it intentionally.
Because
you
it is in funny. English.
Yes.
It is in English.
So,
it's on the same page.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, right, well, anyways.
Not on mine.
I'm going to give it
I don't know. I like, not on mine, though. Yeah.
All right, we heard you. Go.
And I mean, way too many characters, too.
I
mean, really,
this,
way too many characters.
Because I haven't watched enough of the anime to really give it a good basis. Because, especially with the so many characters and the evolving stories around them and stuff like that, there's a lot to take in instead of just, you know, like, you can listen to a demo and tell whether you like the songs. You might listen to the first 30 seconds of, or even the first minute of the song. With like, a movie or you know, with certain things, you can kind of tell right off the back in a way. With this, because there's so much to it and everything like that, you would really have to watch the whole entire show in order to at least get something. And so that's why I kind of gave it just like that one thumb up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I understand where you're coming from on that one. That's a good way to explain it.
Okay. With me, just, I want to give it one thumb sideways, just like, it's that, like, maybe a 45 degree angle, more or less. Just because it just seemed like it just wasn't my taste. It just didn't feel well. It didn't sit well.
Okay.
I needed Pepto Bismol after that.
Well, last week when we were reviewing Get Him to the Greek, we kind of referenced Scott Whelan from Stone Temple Pilots. Well, come to find out,
here's a big slap in the fucking face.
Come to find out, Stone Temple Pilots came out with a new album, self-titled, with an album cover done by Shepard Fairey, the guy who does the Obey Andre the Giant pictures.
Yeah.
And I took a listen to this album, and I don't know. I felt like the opener, Between the Lines, I liked how it sounded, but lyrically, you know, tell me you want to talk about love, especially when you're my favorite drug, even when we used to do drugs, that just sounds lazy. Lazy songwriting right there.
Yeah, that, I don't know, I felt like almost he was taking over the part of, like, Get Him to the Greek, because it was like he was on drugs, and I don't know how many times I remember listening to the radio and going, oh, yep, the lead singer of Stone Temple Pirates has been arrested yet again in a sting, and I was like, oh, my fucking head again, buddy? What the fuck is wrong with you?
But then there's this one song that I felt really showed their laziness, and it's called Huckleberry Crumble. And I'm starting to hear this, I'm starting to listen to it. Wait, this sounds familiar. It's got that do 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 do. Wait a minute, it's that same old story, same old song, and you ripped off Aerosmith, you assholes!
Yeah. I was listening to it with one of my workers and my boss, and they were like, yeah, this isn't too bad and stuff like that. It doesn't feel like it's fucking amazing, but what they could have done, because I missed the old shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I want him to be on drugs or anything like that, or how he was back then, but it seems that it was a lot better, like, what they were creating, not, you know, this whole...
Yeah,
cool,
I love your cocaine.
Let's just talk, yeah, no, that was a different guy.
Wait, I thought that was Stone Temple Pilots.
No, that was,
Stone Temple Pilots was like, Sour Girl.
Yeah.
That's right.
Tripping on a Hole.
Flies in the Ointment. All that other fun stuff.
The guy sounded like him, though.
Yeah. But it seemed that, you know, Stone Temple Pilot could have dug in a little bit more and just hold out instead of just push out a disc like this. I think they could have done
I felt like only four songs on this album really
there,
stood out.
There were 16 tracks, correct? I believe.
Yeah.
16 tracks, three were live.
Yeah.
And they were just replays of one of the songs that was on the track and two of their older songs. And I felt that they should have been able to do a little bit more than just give us those extra little bits on there.
Yeah. Because I felt like the songs that I liked were Take a Load Off, which was the second track. Mm-hmm. Then Cinnamon, because for some reason when I was listening to this album, it kind of reminded me a little bit of The Pillows.
Cinnamon was good. I liked Cinnamon. That was one that stuck out to me.
Fast As I Can, which felt like this was more the classic Stone Temple Pilots sort of song.
Maybe just a little bit on that one. But
First Kiss on Mars was the other one that I liked, because it reminded me a bit of Bowie.
Which number was that?
First Kiss on Mars?
Yeah.
I think that was the second to last.
Yeah, I think it was the set. Yeah, that was the one of the ones that was coming up to like I think 11 or 12 or something like that before they went and showed their whole the live tracks or something. But yeah, they definitely should have maybe stepped back, looked at the big picture. I mean, some of these musicians actually have to sit. I think they besides that whole they sit there and listen to it for like 2 seconds. Go, yeah, that's good enough. Let's just put it on. They need to really sit back and be like. Is my audience, is my fan base, is anybody who's going to listen to this that might not be normally listening to, like, our actual music, are they going to be fucking impressed, or are they just going to be like, wow, this is just another one of those, I could kind of get catchy to it?
Yeah, it's very generic.
And that's it, yeah.
So. You know, they need to do what the Mighty Mighty Boston's did for Pinpoints and Gingoids. They needed to work hard and revamp
a lot of shit.
Not just revamp, but make songs that they know are going to sound awesome when they're playing it on stage.
Well, because if you listen through like how they used to do their old tracks, it was like, and then they're like, holy! I remember. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was going like that where you couldn't even hear them, and now when you're actually able to hear the lyrics that they were able to put up there and stuff like that, I can't help but listen to the Bricks and Mortar song. That song always fucking hits me because it's such a good song and how they put it together, and especially Wrote It Down. That's another good one.
Yeah,
I mean, just go
Graffiti Worth Reading.
Yeah, Graffiti Worth Reading. Just even right off the bat, that's a fucking good song.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but back to Stone Temple Pilots, I feel that I can maybe only give a thumb up for this album.
I'm actually giving it sideways.
Yeah. Anvil gives it one thumb up. How do you feel? Yeah, sideways for... Yeah, see, this is not one of those albums, man. Yeah. I would suggest maybe if you could get it off a friend or even contact us and we'll give you a little taste of it, see if you want to actually buy the album maybe, because it seems that it just, you know... I don't know. I think we should put it out on the website just to give them like maybe a little bit of the taste of the actual songs.
I'll see if I can find like a video for it.
Yeah, because it seems that it just... I don't know, man. I was expecting so much more when I saw the video of them. They're like all back together. They're all hugging. They're like, yeah, this is going to be a great fucking album. They just fucking African child this shit.
I wanted more.
Pretty much like Green Day. No.
Well, I don't know. Green Day has had its, you know, ups and downs, I guess.
The only one with one good album to me.
Dookie?
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked American Idiot. I really loved American Idiot. I felt that 21st Century Breakdown was a bit of an overkill.
You know what I like? The other version of that song. Canadian
you
Idiot.
You wanna be a Canadian Idiot?
Well,
thank you, Will.
Since we're on the subject of music, we did go to our buddy's concert last night of the Stampede.
I don't recall ever being there.
Fuck yeah, Stampede!
And
You were trying to flirt with the girls downstairs who didn't want nothing to do with you.
I called Monica's phone number, didn't I? Yeah.
No, you didn't. Yeah. And she ain't gonna call you.
How is she not gonna call me if she gave me her phone number?
She's going to block you.
She gave you that phone number that you call, and it makes fun of you.
No, thank you for calling the rejection hotline. That's what it is.
Isn't it sad that Darkheart actually knows what it says?
I know what it says because my friend showed it to me.
Exactly.
What did I know about it? My brother gave it to somebody.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of weird when we were going into it because I was expecting maybe a little bit bigger or even like some stadium seating. We come to like a fucking like school or some shit in Brookline, and they had like a room that was, no, it wasn't 12 by 12, maybe a little bit
16
bigger,
by 16.
About 16 by 16, and they had a little stage on there that was probably about 6 by No, it was probably about 8x8, maybe a little bit that big. And but before, I mean, Chris and Manny were fucking were happy about that shit. I mean, that, and they kept playing those weird fucking little things on the TV, but they probably never showed it.
Yeah.
What else was there? They I mean, helping Manny and Chris for the Stampede to go and fucking set up their equipment. Mm-hmm. I think that was awesome because you just feel great because you actually were able to set up that music
And get in for free.
And get in for free. even though we were supposed to pay $7. Whoopsies.
Hey, they put beef in our hands.
Yeah, I know. We were just carrying shit in. They're like, B. And I was like, oh, I was just about to get my wallet. I'm sorry. Thank you. And then hopped in the elevator and rode up.
One dude really creeped me out, and that was that announcer guy. He was creepy as shit.
Yeah, he was, but, you know.
He kind of reminded me of that comedian Neil Hamburger for some reason. When I first heard him talking, he sounded like John F. Kennedy. He was like, and I was like, oh my fucking head. It's like the recreation of John F. Kennedy. Yeah. Of course, I had to mention back
but
to
the left. Apparently, Chris and Manny remembered him on the fence.
Apparently, Chris and Manny remembered him when he was on Melrose Public Access TV.
Yeah. He must get around. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, there was a couple other people that walked in. They're like, holy shit, you're here.
Yeah.
So but you're so-and-so.
So he must be famous for something.
Yeah.
Public Access Television.
A lot of people must watch it, but it seems to me like the Stampede were awesome, and just their version of Drift Away this time around just fucking blew my head.
Well, now that's the thing. I haven't had the chance to get to see him live because last time I was feeling like shit, and we weren't able to go see him at TT and the Bears. Was it?
No, it was Rob Jacks.
Rob Jacks, wherever the fuck it was. Anyways, when we were going, when we went to go see them, like, this time around, because every time when I got to actually hear them play, it was in our radio station for No Border, No Race.
Yes.
And they played acoustic, because they weren't able to bring a whole fucking drum set. Like, his drum set is gorgeous, and it's nice and big. I mean,
and he told
shit.
Me it cost only under $500.
I know, that's the funny thing, because that was the other thing. When I had, like, the cymbals, I was like, oh yeah, this just cost a shitload of money. He's like, no, they didn't. I was like, dude, these cymbals I know, there's some of them that are at least $50 each. They've got to be, because of the fact is that they're fucking, I can't remember the name of it, but
Zildjian,
yeah, they're Zildjians and shit like that. So
yeah,
they're
really
fucking
good
high
cymbals,
end.
Yeah.
Wicked. Oh.
They're probably some of the best cymbals out there.
Have you ever been to their company? Oh, man, it's fucking, they have some awesome music stuff there. You have to go if you want to go and take a trip, go there. It's actually somewhere around in Massachusetts. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I saw
road trip.
Yeah, I know.
No.
The news station went to go and check it out, and the funny thing was they showed how like they actually have a special camera that when they hit the cymbals and they actually watch the flex of it, and they're able to calculate how much of the flex on it. Oh, it's just fucking awesome. But back to Manny and Chris, I loved going into this because you know. Like being able to hear them play with acoustics and then to turn it into when he's able to use and manipulate his bass pedals and do a little light show that he had added on there. You got the drum set from Chris. Fucking awesome. I was blown away. I felt that, you know, if these guys make it, I think they should.
Well, dude, they're playing the Middle East in August. That's showing
that's,
you.
That's good enough as is. They need it. They're going to get out there. I'm hoping that they can get out there and do something.
Yeah.
Lots of props for them.
Yep. Now we're kind of split on the person who went on before him, the Imaginary Friends.
He sucked.
I liked
he
him.
Sucked. He sucked.
I was kind of in between because it was kind of creepy, but
it was
also
different though.
It was very different. Like
avant-garde hip hop. I would not make the same vein as Bus Driver.
Well, he pulled a Bus Driver with the whole Apple setup doing the music, which he did use a lot of different sound effects. He used a lot of music that was already played, and he re-looped it, and he was able to put it in his own way. He swore a lot, which I kind of give him props for that, but seeing that you're on a cable and that access setup, they probably had to push the sensor button a few times with that thing.
Exactly.
This song is about fucking weed.
I'm singing about marijuana. Now I'm going to sing about masturbation. Come on. I could sing about masturbation. Any one of us here could sing about
I could sing about a table.
Yeah, exactly.
But I had to give him props from sampling the Pinky and the Brain theme song. Oh, that was badass.
On. He used a theme song.
Brain, brain,
I would sue him if I was a guy.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. The way he was, when he was sitting down, I was like, okay, he must be a short bastard. As soon as he stood up, he was taller than Anvil.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
I stood next to him.
Oh, bullshit. He was taller than you.
He was the same height.
He was taller.
Yeah. Same height. His
Anyways,
hair
he was tall. He was really tall. He was very lanky. And he was wearing like a... He looked like he was from one of those camp, like, t-shirts on there. Then he had, like, the...
Like, he belongs on, like, a Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, and then he had, like, these weird shorts. Like, the socks were kind of pulled up. The weird shoes.
He was Napoleon Dynamite's cousin.
And, of course, he's wearing a hat.
He'll be the pothead guy that dies in the movie.
He's wearing a hat with, like, a fish on it. Well, I was just like, where's the fucking fish hooks, you... Like, I was expecting him to literally just pull out a fucking, like, fishing rod. Or, like, a fly fishing rod and just... plop it out on the thing and start trying to go and fish while rapping. Yeah. I felt like that, and he was kind of monotone. He was just, he's just a weird all fucking around kid.
Well, monotone, like Beck is monotone in a lot of his songs.
Yeah,
so.
But I felt that this guy was, there was something a little off, and I guess the whole song about weed, now I could actually see why he's fucked up. So, yeah, I mean, that's my personal feelings about him. How about you, Darkheart, seeing that you like to blend into the background? You were all sitting on the wall like, you can't fucking see me.
And nobody could fucking see me. I don't think anybody give a shit about me being there, especially since I was the only fucking black dude that was in the goddamn place.
Wait, you were able to like be cool with the Asian like short guy that was running the camera, right? Because it seemed like every fucking person that was running like the cameras was either my height or they were fucking like
they were pretty short.
I was just like, dude, these
I didn't talk.
These cameras?
I talked to the band members. I didn't talk to the lanky guy. I didn't talk to anybody. Tell you the truth, except. The band members
and their friends that were around.
And the couple of friends that were around. That was it. I was just way in the background. But I was listening. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fucking show. They're freaking awesome. They were kicking ass and everything like that. And
yeah, we had to leave kind of early because...
I wish I could do shit like that. I would love to go up there and start playing.
Yeah,
I'd
love
like
to too, you know, but... I don't have the yarbles for it. But more or less with, like, the whole setup that they did was... I guess there was more bands that were coming on afterwards, but we were so fucking exhausted and we had today to fucking take care of. And believe me, we wish you could have stayed, but we're going to get the DVD and see what we could do. Like, you know, check it out. And if there was anything that we liked more, we're probably going to comment about it.
Yeah.
It's mainly Anvil's fault. I was up for, like, 30 hours at that point, and I was tired.
Oh, you could have slept in the trunk.
You're a piece of shit. You were downstairs trying to flirt with the girls. Again, I'm bringing that up, and we weren't getting anywhere.
Oh. Hey, I got a phone number, and I saw some chicks titties.
And that's why I'm just, yeah.
Blue's arm, too.
See, yeah.
She was wearing a see-through shirt.
No, she wasn't even wearing a bra, dude.
I said she wasn't wearing a bra.
Oh, yeah,
with a white see-through shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was wearing like a white tank top, and I was like, "Whoa, nipples! Hey,
you
how you
saw
doing?"
Saw the whole titty through.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We're running out of time, but let's quickly talk about the Saboteur.
All right, what would you want to say about it first?
Saboteur, going into this video game, I wasn't 100% sure because...
But you're sure glad I pointed to you, right?
Yes.
Giggity giggity.
Because all he would say, because I went like, should I buy this game, Blue? He kept going, boobies. Is it a good game? Boobies. Is it a good game?
Do you understand
boobies.
What boobies are? Boobies are good.
Boobies are pretty.
I give it two boobs up.
Yeah, exactly.
I give it two C cups up.
You know what? The British term of tits up is totally like cut out because of the fact this is tits up should be good. Not the whole concept of
I'm going
oh, she's
tits
dead.
Overhead. Tits overhead.
But...
There's no problem with tits.
But, Saboteur, you're an Irishman stuck in Nazi-occupied France.
Yeah, which
trying to change the world in Paris.
Now, the whole setup that they did for this was a fucking brilliant idea. I love the part when you're actually in the parts where it's heavily occupied by the Nazis. When you go to walk in from one area that's, like, if you were to see, like, the color around your room or something like that, and then just picture a Nazis or a couple of Nazis walking in, you know, and the whole room just turns gray. And, like, the only thing that comes out vibrant is their, like, their red armbands or anything that was red.
And the black person.
That, too. Mm-hmm. But more or less, it seems that, you know, they actually did a cool aspect with it because it just turned all gray. And when you do the first mission, when you get over with it and they're driving away, it's like, dude, do you feel that? Or, it looks kind of weird around here, you know? Because you just took out a shitload of Nazis with an explosion. And then it's like it went from gray to colored. And they're driving away. They're like, wow, it just feels a lot better. You know, like, yeah. They just took out a shitload of these fucking people.
It's like watching an episode of I Love Lucy was, you know, gray episode for a
day. Yes, exactly.
All of a sudden it changes to color the next day.
It's like, what the hell just happened? But yeah, I mean, please go on, King.
But, you know, trying out some of the missions and everything, I loved the backstory, and I felt the whole racing aspect of it was really cool.
It was fucked up what happened, though.
Yeah, how he shoots the fucking
tires. But, I mean, the women, especially if you're able to get this code for when you're in
the Midnight Show.
Yeah, the Midnight Show. I don't know if you actually got to find it, but there's the underground. Did you get to find the underground?
Yes, I found that. Okay. I did the lap dance. Because
they have the special, like, shelf thing that opens up where the bouncer guy is.
Yeah, the burlesque dancers and everything doing a special show for you.
So, okay, so it's pretty much like God of War titties?
No, there's no nipple pasties or no friggin' like things covering it. Total titty.
There's just nothing covering the God of War.
I'm talking about like there's titties everywhere, like in God of War.
Some of them are wearing bras, but some of them are just walking around topless. Like they're serving drinks to the Nazis topless. There's dancers on the actual stage singing topless.
It
starts off on the actual game when you put in the code. The girl actually that's singing a gorgeous song. Is topless, and she has great wreck. It's fucking awesome. The way it should be.
And you know, I'm one of those guys that's always been wanting to go, like, to a real burlesque show. Like, actually go to Paris and see, like, you know, the nude girls actually having a lot of talent on stage.
I'm gonna get you an escort. Your birthday.
But...
her name will be Candy King.
It'll be Coco. No, it won't be Coco.
Her name will be
Mordecai. It won't be Coco.
It's like, the Dark Horse Tower, show us your name.
Mordecai.
Oh, I hate these guys!
But, there was this one level that I was playing that I was having issue with, and it was where you were trying to steal the wine bottle. And trying to sneak in and trying to...
Yeah, I mean, I felt that there was kind of issues with the setup because a lot of the Nazis were standing right there. And even if you, you know, got the Nazi suit on and you started sliding down the walls or something like that, they kind of got like... Hey, what are you doing? Or if you're trying to walk around like a Nazi, you're supposed to be able to be, like, uncoverable, but yet it still puts a little bit of the circle over you until they get really close and they acknowledge that you were an Irishman or something like that.
Yeah, but which is why when that level, I just went, fuck it, climbed up the roof and just shot everybody. It was like,
bam, bam, bam.
It's wine either, bottle, yoink.
The way I did it was I hopped down, grabbed the wine bottle. They were shooting at me. I hopped up onto the thing. I got into the secret hiding spot up on the top. Then they all cleared out. I hopped down the other side of the building, got into the vehicle, drove the fuck off. So I was able to get out without killing anybody, but it still was getting fucked up. So, yeah. But, I mean, the Irishman could take a lot of shots.
He can.
So, but with this whole setup, I like how they did the actual, like, you know, fight scenes are pretty good. And this game is a couple years old. I mean, this is more one of those games that
it came out in 2009.
2009? Is it 2009? Jesus, man. I'm just fucking lost.
It's been out for a few months.
Well, let's just put it this way, that seeing that it's within the year basis, because usually the games that we're picking up, I mean, this game dropped down in price reasonably, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to pick it up. So I picked it up, and I was able to put it in and just play the game, and I actually like it. Haven't beaten it completely yet, because it seems like it's a nice, big, vast game that you're able to, like, do a lot of stuff.
Just walk around, check out the area, see what's there.
It's like playing Mafia, the original one, along with kind of Grand Theft Auto.
And Saints Row 2.
Yeah, Saints Row 2 is, you know, in probably All Points Bulletin when I get a fucking chance to play that. But yeah, it's definitely a sweet deal if you go and find it at the store. Probably $18-$17 is a pretty good deal. Go for it. And hopefully get it new, because it has the actual
code
so you can get the
movies.
Because
I bought it used, so the code didn't work, so I had to pay the $2.99 online for it.
Which is still a bad deal. Yeah, get boobies for $2.99.
And extra stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, where you are, you know, order it on a pay-per-view, and it's like...
$20.
$20, yeah.
No, $50 now. You save money by switching to the fucking saboteur. So two thumbs way the fuck up on my aspect.
Same here.
We gotta put a knife in this bitch.
Okay. Well, remember, check out our website at boston-brigade.com. If you have any comments, requests, anything you want to discuss with us, send us an email at thebastards@boston-brigade.com.
We're also... Wait. Is it my turn or your turn? My turn. We're also on myspace.com/boston-brigade. You can hit us up on there as well. We're also on Facebook. We have a Boston Bastard Brigade group, so look that up, and hopefully you can find it. Contact us that way. We're going to start trying to put up a lot more stuff on those on the pages. Yeah. So we can start
trying to figure out how to do more videos for it.
We're trying to interact a lot more. We're trying to see if we could get out there and, you know, get cool with people.
And don't forget our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Go show them some love. And the other group?
Geek Aggro.
Yeah, Geek Aggro.
Triple B.
I won't remember their name again.
Well, now, next week, we're going to be taking this show to, I believe, Salisbury.
Salisbury?
Salisbury.
Salisbury?
Salisbury.
Salisbury?
We're going to be recording at the beach house of a certain woman that we have been talking about for almost a year on this show.
Is there going to be Salisbury steak?
No.
No.
Fuck!
No. I'm talking, of course, about the other missing B3 member, Pink Taco.
The MIA, the one that Taco started from the original aspect, and then yes, she got a job.
So hopefully she'll be able to join us while we record there, and you'll be able to hear her thoughts and opinions.
We'll have the original five.
Yeah, original five.
Now,
Triple B!
We have... From the time of our recording, we have 8 days until our cancer walk.
Yep.
We want to ask one last time for you guys to help us out. It's a good cause. And we would also thank one group who's been really helpful with us, which is the band Totally Inappropriate. Come see them next week. Well, I should say next Saturday, which is...
Well, this coming Saturday, since it's coming up. This is going up on Tuesday.
Yes. So come June 19th. To John Brewer's Tavern in Malden, 9 p.m. Listen to good music and help support the group. We'll be there raising money literally the final night humanly possible. Because we'll get home at, like, let's say 4 in the morning.
Yeah, basically.
And we'll be registering for the walk 3 hours later. So we'll sleep for like 2 hours before doing this. And we're dedicated to this cause. Mm-hmm. Let's fight cancer.
Yep. Fuck cancer!
All right. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Melodic.
This is Jarkard.
This is B.A. Barrett. I mean, Annabelle.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are the bastards.
We pitiful.
I'm gonna go flip an AC-130. I mean, C-130. My bad.